We're going to be looking tonight at the power of His presence, the Holy Spirit, and the power that's in there. Father, we just thank You for the Word tonight. We thank You that the Word will come alive in our hearts, that we will receive it, and it will burst to life inside of us. And we just thank You for opening our understanding. We thank You for the anointing that would be upon Your Word tonight, and that we will be able to grab it and run with it. Amen. We're going to, is anybody doing transparent the scriptures tonight? No, if they're not, that's okay. Isaiah 6, 1 through 8, we're going to be in the New King James Version tonight. And this scripture shows us how being in the presence of the Lord brings an awareness of sin, an abolishment of sin, and a surrender to the plan of God. Okay, Isaiah 6, 1, and it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I," talking of Isaiah, talking of himself, "I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple." And in a scripture that corresponds to that verse in the New Testament is from John 12:41, and it said, "These things Isaiah said when he saw His glory," Jesus' glory, "and spoke of Him," or Jesus. So here, when he saw the Lord, he was seeing Jesus, according to this New Testament scripture. And anyway, above the throne, above it stood seraphim, which are a type of angels. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. Remember Acts 2:19, when the Holy Ghost was poured out, it was a fulfillment of the prophecy that said, "I will show wonders in the heaven and signs in earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke." And so when the glory comes in, it's normal for vapors of smoke, the glory of the Lord, to come in. Okay, when the house filled with the glory of the Lord, verse 5, "So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged.' Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom will I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I. Send me.' And he said," God said, "'Go and tell this people.'" So when we come into the presence of the Lord and He purges us our sins and He cleanses us, the purpose is so that we can go and tell. Go and tell His message. Go and just show His glory and His love to the world. Verse 5 identified their sin as unclean lips. And we're going to look a little bit at the power of the words we speak. Mark 7:15, it says, "There's nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile the man." So what we say is what defiles us. A little over a year ago, we met a Navajo lady up in the reservation named Jennifer Begay, and she had just had a word from the Lord, and the Lord told her, "When evil thoughts come to your mind, stop them there. Don't let them come out of your mouth. Speak only happy words that encourage and bless." When the devil brings bad thoughts to our mind or condemning thoughts of someone else, when we let it come out of our mouth, we give it life. We cause those evil things to live. It's like the spoken word carries life. And when we, you know, everybody, we're all tempted of Satan, and he brings thoughts to our head and thoughts against people and just negative thoughts. But we need to be very careful not to let them come through our mouth. Because when we speak them, it gives them power and it gives them life. Words are creative. Hallelujah. When we speak evil thoughts, we birth them or we give them life. When we have impressions from God and we speak them, when God puts an impression on our heart and we speak it out, we're giving it life. When we speak God's word and his promises, we're giving it life. Remember, the earth was created and God said, and it was. Words are creative. They have power. They put things into motion. And so that's why it's so important that we speak according to the word of the Lord and decree the word of the Lord. Like from Psalms 112, we could say, I am blessed because I worship God. I worship God and I am blessed. And so we should read the word and declare the word over our lives, over our families, over our town, the blessings of the Lord from the word, because it changes things. Prophecy is speaking for God, speaking his desire and plan. You know, when we speak his word, it just puts things in motion. It gives it wings. It gives it life. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. 1 Peter 3:9-10 says, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. We are called to bless. We are called to be a blessing, and we are called to bless people. Even if someone's coming against us in a bad way, we are to bless them. And by that, it comes back to us. Our words boomerang back to us. What we put out comes back around. And when we bless people instead of curse people, those blessings just come right back on us. Hallelujah. They just boomerang right back and are there. James 3:3-5 compares the tongue with the rudder of a ship. Our words determine our destination. What we speak is a map of where we're going. It determines where we're going. Now we're going to go to Psalms 51, and where it talked about David's repentance after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband killed. But it also, this scripture shows his restoration into God's presence. And, you know, in my book, what he did was a really bad thing, but sin is sin to God. It separated him, and he came to a place of repentance, and we're going to read that. And David said to the Lord here, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. David's reminding God of his mercy, of his loving kindness. You know, he knew he blew it, but he also knew the nature of God. And that God would have mercy on him. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. You know, when we sin, we do need to repent. You know, if it's a big sin, if it's wrong words, if it's wrong attitudes, we need to repent. We need to say, Lord, I'm sorry I said those things. I'm sorry I had a wrong attitude. And so when there's wrongdoing, repentance is required. It's a turning around. Verse 4, against you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Verse 9. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit. And then number 13 is very important. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. So when we come to a place of repentance and find that cleansing in the Lord, what's the purpose? So that we can bring other people to Jesus and show other people God's love and mercy, his loving kindness that he does forgive. Hallelujah. God's plan is always restoration of fellowship and restoration toward the with the ministry of reconciliation. Everybody that's born again has the ministry of reconciliation, helping bring other people and reconciling to God. Okay, that same Psalms 51 verse 17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O Lord, you will not despise." And so there's a place where we need to be broken and humble before the Lord. And it just is, you know, and when we come into the presence of the Lord, when God's presence is so strong, you just want to get on your face before him. That's our natural instinct. Oh, God, you just want to bow before you and get on his face, you know, because he is so mighty. He's just so mighty and great. Isaiah 66, 1 through 2, it says, "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build for me? And where is the place of my rest? Where will I dwell? For all these things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on whom who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." In the message, that verse 2 says, "But there's something I'm looking for. A person simple and plain, reverently responsive to what I say." You know, an obedient heart, reverently responsive. When we need to have ears to hear the Lord, we need to be listening to him. When we hear it, when we hear his voice through the word, through his still small voice within us, we need to have reverence toward that and obey the tuggings of the Holy Spirit and what he's leading us to do. And there's a direct connection between having God's presence and power in our life and forgiveness, letting things go. Mark 11, 25 and 26 says, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." So we need to continually search our hearts. Lord, do I have anything in there? In Matthew 18, 21 through 22, Peter came to him, to Jesus, and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times?" I mean, Peter thought he was being real generous. You know, I'll forgive my brother seven times. And he was, you know, kind of proud about it. That's real generous. And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you until seven times, but until 70 times seven." So it's like, you know, that's a lot. If somebody came, you know, 70 times seven, if they offended you in some way and did wrong toward you, you know, but that's the principle of God. We have been forgiven so much. And so we need to have a continual forgiveness toward other people. Forgiving doesn't mean to condone or approve what was done. It just means to let it go. Let it go. Give it to God. Let it go. It's not saying what they did was okay, but you let it go. You turn it loose. In this chain chapter of Matthew 18, Jesus goes on to tell a story about a great king. And in this story, there was a servant who owed the king 10,000 talents. A talent was not a coin that you put in your pocket. A talent was a bar of gold weighing about 66 pounds. And so 10,000 talents would weigh about 660 pounds. And in today's market value, that's $10 billion. He owed the king $10 billion. Wow, that's hard to imagine. The point that Jesus is making that is in order to forgive other people's offenses freely, we have to understand the magnitude of the sins that God's forgiven us. We've been like forgiven a $10 billion debt. Besides being forgiven, Jesus has made us joint heirs with Christ in all his vast riches and resources. You know, we're his children. We're God's children. We have his inheritance. When we were born again, we became rich because all that heaven has is ours. And so not only were we forgiven a great debt, but we gained great riches when we come into the kingdom of God. And understanding how much God forgave us and the riches that we have as sons of God, we should be very generous with others in letting things go and forgiving them. Going on in this same story in Matthew 18:28, the forgiven servant is owed some money by another servant. The amount the other servant owes him is 100 denarii. One denarii was the daily wage for a skilled workman. According to today's skilled wages, that would come to about $15,000. So he was just forgiven a $10 billion debt. And then someone owed him like $15,000. Well, that's a lot of money. But in comparison to what he was forgiven, it was nothing. You know, and sometimes it's easy to forgive someone a small offense. You know, oh yeah, I'll forgive them. But sometimes, you know, a $15,000 debt is a pretty big debt to forgive. But the thing is that we have been forgiven so much that we need to be very generous in others in forgiving them and letting things go. Very, very important. Hallelujah. And unforgiveness is a sin that separates us from the presence of the Lord. You know, we can't have communication with the Lord and be in real fellowship with him when there's things in our heart. The focus of repentance is to change our way of thinking until his presence fills our consciousness. Isaiah 32:17 says, "The work of righteousness will be peace." And peace in the Hebrew here means completeness, welfare, safety, health, and prosperity. That's the work of righteousness. When righteousness is working in our heart, we have peace, completeness, welfare, safety, health, and prosperity. And the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. Hallelujah. It's important that we surrender ourselves completely to God. John 5:30 says, "I can of myself do nothing as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is righteous," because this is Jesus talking. He said, "I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." If even Jesus didn't seek his own will, should we seek our own will? We need to seek the will of the Father. God, what is your will? In this thing, every day, and Lord, let me be led by your Spirit. What do you want? Hallelujah. Jesus wasn't independent or self-reliant. He lived dependent on the Father and the Holy Spirit. In John 15, 5, speaking about his followers, Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." On the other hand, in John 15, 7, he said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it'll be given unto you." So when we're trying to do something on our own, we can do nothing. But when we're abiding in him and his words abiding in us, we can ask anything and it'll be done for us. So that's a surrendered life to the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew 6, 24 through 25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life shall lose it. And whoever desires to lose his life for my sake shall find it." The Message version said, it reads, "Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way. My way to finding yourself, your true self." So when we surrender to God and follow his lead and let him be God in our life, let him be the boss of our life, hallelujah, that's the way that we will find our true selves and find who we really are. Hallelujah, in the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to read a little bit about cleansing and empowering fire. Isaiah 6, 6 through 7. "Then one of the seraphim," this is what we just read, "flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken from the tongs, from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged.'" Jesus, in Hebrews 12, 29, it says, God is a consuming fire. And so when we come into the presence of the Lord, we're in the presence of God, and he consumes the things that we don't need. You know, it's just like when we're in present, that dross is burned out of us. Just being in his presence is cleansing to us, because the fire is what cleanses us, and God is a consuming fire. Remember the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, the only thing that burned off was their ropes. And when we come in the fire of God, the only thing that burns off is what's tying us up and holding us back. God's fire sets us free from what holds us in bondage. Hallelujah. Luke 3, 16 through 17. John answered, saying to all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And so the fire of God is something we want, because we want the chaff burned away. We want what's pure and holy to be what's left in our life. Hallelujah. The fire of God only burns up what we don't need. Acts 2, 1 through 4 says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues or languages as of fire, and one set on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. As the Spirit gave them utterance." So being baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, we're also baptized in the fire of God. The Holy Spirit contains the fire of God, his power and his fire. So we need the Holy Spirit in our life. Hebrews 1:7, it says, "And of the angels he wrote, who makes his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire." This word "ministers" in the Greek means worshipers. Worshiping God brings God's presence, and when God's presence comes, it brings an awareness of sin. But I thought that was real neat. He makes his worshipers a flame of fire. So when we're lost in worshiping God, you know, we're like a flame of fire where his presence, just his glory is about us when we're worshiping him. In March 24th, a year ago, Mitch had an awesome vision from the Lord. He was up here and he told us about it, and it's just so awesome. But Mitch said, I saw the Holy Spirit filling everyone that was in front of me that I could see. And everything that they were holding on to, you know, sometimes we say we let go of everything, but we really don't. Sometimes we say that we're okay, but we are really not. Deep inside, these people that I saw held things that they wanted to hold on to for some reason. But what I saw was the Holy Spirit covering them. It went into them and came out their ears, out their mouth. It totally encumbered everything about these people. Things started to come out of them like handcuffs, chains, and disease in the form of green smoke, black smoke coming out. And in the end, it was pure white. Praise God, the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God can manifest in our lives and clean us clear, pure as snow. You know, and sometimes we do have bondages inside of us. We have fears. We have prejudice. We have walls that we've built up. Sometimes in our lives when we've been hurt, we let walls build up. It's like a protective force, but those walls can hinder God doing what he wants to do in his life. And it's really the fear is what built the walls, and fear is not of God. You know, God didn't give us the spirit of fear. And so when things, and there's different kind of prejudice that rise up in our heart, and God's people don't have a right to be prejudiced against anything. That's not, you know, it's that prejudice isn't allowed in God's kingdom. And so being in God's presence and having more of his presence, being where he's worshiped, it's just a cleansing. It's a cleansing. Things are just set free inside of us. Sometimes that we didn't even know we had. I know there's been times when the Spirit of the Lord would come so strong, and I would just get on the floor and weep and just pour out. You know, sometimes we hold on to old hurts and old wounds, and that's a form of unforgiveness, really, also, when we hold on to how we were hurt, you know, we were wounded. God wants to heal those things. He wants us to give them to him. And in his spirit, we're cleansed. Hallelujah. Last year, Calvin had a dream, and he mentioned it recently, but it just goes with this thing about fire. In Calvin's dream, my dad, Papa Mason, asked me, how are your churches doing? And I'm said, I'm not sure about a lot of the U.S. churches, but ours, Faith Ministries Church, is doing good. We have a lot of spirit movement. Sometimes smokes come in a drift or wafts among the people and then goes outside on the street and affects the public. And sometimes fire comes and gets all over the people or comes out of their hands. Then they smile almost playful and say, look, it doesn't burn me. And it's just, you know, whether we'll literally see it or not, the presence of the Holy Spirit comes with fire. It comes with a cleansing fire. And many times, and I've seen it before, but it's been a long time, but many times, Brother Hagin saw it all the time. The bakers that minister in Africa, they see it. They'll see a smoke or a cloud coming in, and it'll come, and it'll just cover the congregation. And it's the glory of the Lord coming in. And in Azusa Street, when Pentecost was for it, there would be a mist in the Spirit, and there would be clouds of the Spirit. Children would play in it. They would run in and out of it. And it was just an awesome thing. But the glory of the Lord a lot of times will come with a cloud of glory or a mist. Heidi Baker was talking. They were doing a big campaign in Africa, and there was probably maybe 1,000 people out there or something. And she looked up, and she saw the glory coming from behind. It was outside. and it hit the back row and they fell, and it just moved up the whole, and every place that the glory fit, people just fell out of their seats, and they were just lost in the Spirit and seeking the Lord, and the glory of the Lord just came, and it just, everybody, where the glory hit, they were just falling out of their seats. And I have seen that in Kenneth Hagin's meetings too, and I see him walk up, and you see the glory coming out, and he just goes like that, and everybody in that row just falls on the ground. And so it's like, it doesn't matter how God moves, and we don't want to try to repeat something that God used to do, but we want the movement of the Holy Ghost. We want His presence here. We're hungry for His presence here. We want Him to have His way. And when He comes and He moves upon a congregation, things happen. Lives are changed. People are healed spiritually, emotionally, physical. God's presence changes things. And we're hungry. I just say, oh God, all the time, give us a greater density of the presence of the Lord. And we have a sweet presence of the Lord in this place. We feel it. We know. We have manifestations of the Spirit. But it's like, God, we want more. We want a greater density of your presence in our midst. We want you, Lord. We want you, Holy Spirit. We want you to come and do whatever you would do. The anointing of the Holy Spirit brings deliverance. Isaiah 10:27 says that the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. So when the anointing comes, yokes are broken. Bondages are broken. Sins fall off. Habits you don't want will fall off. People are set free. People are healed when the anointing is there. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61:1-3. I like this passage. I probably read it a lot, but it's just so good. And this is a prophecy of Jesus, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because." Well, when the Holy Ghost was poured out on the book of Acts, the Spirit of the Lord came on the church. And so we can read this, and we can say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the open of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." What a trade is going on. God wants to give us beauty for ashes. Ashes are when you're just all burned out. You know, you heard that term, "I'm just burned out." God wants to trade our burnout for His beauty. Hallelujah. He wants to give us the trade the oil of joy for mourning. Where there's mourning, He wants to fill us with that oil of joy and that anointing of joy. He wants it to fill us and flow where it just rivers of joy will flow from us. Hallelujah. And it's an anointing of joy. It's not something we work up in our flesh, and it's not something we do ourselves. It's an anointing of the joy of the Lord. And I have seen it fall so many times that it's just is awesome when the joy of the Lord comes. He wants to trade a spirit of heaviness for a garment of praise. You know, when we're praising God, there's no heaviness there. You just feel as light as a feather. You just feel like, oh, it's so good to praise the Lord. It's just so good. You're free when you're worshiping. You're free when you're praising. Hallelujah. No room for heaviness here when we're worshiping the Lord. That they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. I love what Nina reads Sunday, that we're the oaks of the Lord. You know, we're the solid. We're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know, trees planted by waters are bigger and healthier than any other trees. Have you noticed the trees along the San Pedro River? There's not much water there, but there's enough that those trees show it. And He said that we are like trees planted by the rivers of water. Hallelujah. We have the nourishment of His Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 35 is a prophecy of the coming reign of Jesus, which has started. And we're going to start reading in verse 3. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear, because your God will come with vengeance and the recompense of God. He'll come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. Hallelujah. That's the reign of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Matthew 11, 3 through 7, and said to him, the people asked Jesus, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said to them, go tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Hallelujah. When Jesus came, this prophecy was fulfilled. Hallelujah. And you know what? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. That's what his kingdom is all about. That's what the kingdom of God is about. And that's the main thing I wanted to get in our hearts today. You know, things that maybe we're lacking a little bit in our life, we need to read it and 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 read it 100 times a day. Put it on the refrigerator. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. We need to get it in our heart. What we need, that's what we need to put in. That's what we need to proclaim. That's what we need to keep before our eyes. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. Hallelujah. Matthew 4:23, it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and of disease among the people. Hallelujah. That is the kingdom. The kingdom is doing the works that Jesus did. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the head and we're the church. We're his body. We are supposed to be healing the sick and setting the captives free right now in this time. Hallelujah. We need to love people and we need to have compassion on them. Jesus, so often it said he had compassion on the multitudes and he healed them. He had compassion on the multitudes and he fed them. Hallelujah. That heart of compassion needs to beat within us. We need to keep the word before our eyes. Hallelujah. And if we're not living all the way there, that's what we need to be feeding on. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. It's what it is. Hallelujah. It's who we are. Hallelujah. In our spirit, we can get past our flesh. Hallelujah. And surrender to him and walk with him and be led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. This is what it looks like. Isaiah 6:8 says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom will I send and who will go for us? And what do we say? Here I am, send me. That's our response. That's our only response. Who will go for us? Here I am, send me. Hallelujah. Matthew 10:8. Jesus commanded his disciples. Are we disciples of Jesus? Are we? He commanded his disciples and he told them, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Hallelujah. We see healings, and we've seen healings recently, but we need to see them in a greater measure. We need to be doing the works of Christ in a greater measure, and this is what the kingdom of heaven looks like, setting the captive free, loving people, reconciling people to God. You know, there in Romans, when he's talked about reconciliation, it said God isn't holding our sins against us. You know, if God doesn't hold our sins against us, who are we to hold other people's sins against them? I mean, who are we to hold people's sins against them? You know, we need to tell people God's not holding your sin against you. He's wanting you to come. Come. His blood will just cleanse you and make you totally free. Pure as, white as snow. Hallelujah. He'll wipe your sins as far from the east is from the west. That's our God. He's a God of loving kindness and tender mercies. He's a God of forgiveness. If he didn't want people to be set free and born again, why did he die on the cross? Why are we going to let the sacrifice that Jesus made be made in vain? Jesus gave his life. He poured out his blood. He laid down his life. God gave his only son because he so loved the world, every person in it. He says, I'm not willing that any would perish. Where is our heart? No, it's like, oh God, don't let me drop the ball here. I don't want to let the sacrifice Jesus made be in vain. And it's just like, I look at these scriptures and I think, well, we fall short. I fall short. What I'm falling short of, that's what I need to put my focus on. I need to look at it. I need to read these scriptures. I need to hang them on my refrigerator. I need to say, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. And the King of Kings lives within me. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Every child of God, every born-again Christian is called to reconcile people to Jesus. Every born-again Christian is called to heal the sick, commanded to heal the sick. He said, go. Go, heal the sick. That's our job description. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that your word will build a fire within us and a zeal within us that we will, Father, we want more of your presence because more of your presence is more of you in our lives operating and moving. Father, I thank you for blessing us with a greater hunger for the supernatural power of God, for Lohoma She, Lekanai Oshe, just stir a fire within us. Oh, that we will be consumed with a zeal for God and a zeal for the kingdom of God. Oh, Lakamu Ashe, Lanahando Dikia Rabuande Alashe, let us put your word and the picture of what the kingdom of God looks like in front of our mind, in front of our eyes. Oh, Father, we just thank you for a compassion, that you will stir up a compassion within us and a boldness within us, that you will fill us fuller of your Holy Spirit, that we will just be full of your Holy Spirit and be bold to speak your word, to love people, to speak your truth, to reach out and love this world. We just thank you, Lord. I bless this people. I bless us with a hunger for you and a quickening in our spirit to follow the word of the Lord, to follow the spirit of the Lord, that we will each one personally say, the spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to set the captive free. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Does anybody have a testimony? Something you'd like to share? Just something stirring in your heart? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your power. Come on, Nina. Yeah.
Just wanted to share a little testimony about the provision of God and how he takes care of us all the time. Last night, we were heading out of the house, and Mitch had mentioned that we were out of formula, and we had just bought in formula, and I was like, what are you talking about? We just bought formula. He's like, no, there's maybe like one or two scoops left, and that's it. And we had a bunch of bills to pay today, and we're like, okay, well, you know, that was kind of the end of the thought. And we had seen my dad later that evening, and we were just talking, about stuff and whatever, and my dad was like, oh, hold on just a second, you know, and he went to the cupboard and he pulled out a can of formula and he was like, here, I got this for you. I'm like, why did you get that from me? I don't know. I just felt like I had to get it. And so God cares about little things and, you know, just simple stuff like a can of formula. He blesses us, so it's good.
Yes, he's faithful. He's faithful. And he wants us to bring our needs to him. I remember one time when our kids were teenagers and we'd just put them in Shiloh and Sierra Vista and the school, and they had to have a tape recorder. Well, we didn't have money to buy a tape recorder, and they had to have it for one of their classes. And so that night I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, send me, we need a tape recorder, please send us a tape recorder. Well, the next morning, a store in Sierra Vista said, well, your name was drawn and you've run a tape recorder. We'd not been in the store and we'd not put our name in there. But somebody did, and we got a tape recorder that we needed. You know, God cares about those little things. And one year we were wanting to freeze peaches. We loved peaches. It was peach harvest, but they were really expensive that year. And we was wanting to put some away for the winter, and we couldn't afford to. And that night I says, Lord, please send us some peaches. Well, the next morning a farmer called and had a big wind that night, and he says, you can come get all the peaches you want. We got a pickup load of peaches, and they were the best peaches I'd ever had. Two of them wouldn't fit in Calvin's hat. They were that big. They were big peaches, and we filled our freezer. We canned peaches, and we ate peaches, and ate peaches, and ate. But God cares about the little things. We just need to take it to him, because he does. He cares about those little things that are important to us. And he blessed us so much more abundantly than we could have ever done for ourselves. You know, God is just good. Amen. He's our Father, and he cares for us. We just need to take things to him and listen. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's important to listen. I got to tell just a testimony to everybody. Our grandson, Justin, just a couple of weeks ago, he had went to work. He works at Sutherland's just a mile from their house. And he got to work, and he told his boss, I don't know why, but I have to go home. I have to go home. I said, I don't know if I left a burner on. I don't know what, but I just know I have to go home. And the boss says, well, go ahead and go. Well, he pulled up at his house, and his front door was open. And nobody was there. I mean, he was the one that left and locked the door. And the front door is open. He walked in, and there was a man in there, in their house. And he was shocked. He didn't know what to do. And so the man saw him and came running at him to punch him out. And he got there, and Justin just ducked. And he came up like that under the guy's chin and knocked him out on the floor. And it was just like, it was. And then he was like, what do I do with him? He didn't know what to do. Your guy is knocked out on the floor. And the guy, pretty soon, he jumped up and darted out the door. But Justin listened to the Lord, and nothing was stolen, nothing was hurt, because he listened to the Lord. And I told that in prayer yesterday, and Maria McGinnis told me his testimony about Erica. She said once she was at work, and she told her boss, I have to go home, and I don't know why. I just have to go home. And she went to her house, and the door was open, and she had not left it there. And the dog was in the living room, and she had left him outside. And she went in, and thieves were packing up her house to steal things, and they took off and bolted when she got in there. But it's important to listen to the Holy Ghost. If whether, you know, Justin didn't know why he had to go home. Erica didn't know why he had to go home. But she knew, I have to go. And they obeyed. And we heard a lot of stories like that about 9/11. People just got up and said, I'm not supposed to go to work today. And we heard a lot of lives were saved because people listened to the Holy Ghost. So put on your listening ears and have a wonderful rest of the week. Hallelujah. Amen.